Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
All right, we've got that drop. You know the one. The one about Chewy being right and whatnot. I don't know that he's done anything right now to deserve the drop, but I'm using it as a point of reference because...
Is that the stuff I'm supposed to get?
Yes, sir.
Why are they wearing those funny suits?
Well, they're protective, as you know. That's a very corrosive byproduct they're handling.
Oh, yeah. Because if they didn't wear those suits, those boys would be so full of holes, they'd whistle when they walk.
I was... Gabe, help me out.
Well, it appears that you have your facts wrong, Mr. Gantry. Your company is supposed to get 1,500 gallons. Destination someplace called Belle Isle in Louisiana. Signed for by an officer of your company and due the 23rd.
I believe the word you're searching for is wrong.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, wrong. You are not right.
Like,
you are incorrect.
Why is there a copy in front of wrong, Gabe?
So, we're right and you're wrong.
Let me see that. Takes a big man to admit when he's wrong. I am not a big man.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Lattis.
Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man.
Driving into the studio this morning, pulled off the exit, headed towards the lake shore, and there it was. Bright blue and yellow, reminding everyone who sees it to get their Brewers tickets. They go on sale this Friday at 9 a.m. And to talk all things Brew Crew this morning here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, we have Marty Ronsky, Chief Operating Officer of your Milwaukee Brewers. Good morning, Marty. How are you doing today?
Good morning, Jen. I'm great on this, snowy, beautiful, almost baseball season morning.
And that's the thing, man. It snuck up on us because right now it butts up against the football season, right? You got Super Bowl Sunday. I said to the guys, I said, when do pitchers and catchers report? And they said, this week. I said, I'm sorry, what?
Here we are.
So let's talk about the excitement surrounding this Brewers team. What are some of the things that fans should be excited about?
Well, so many things, Jen, right? Always. But the right now it is that baseball is actually coming for starters, right? That beacon of hope that all Wisconsinites need at this time of year. But single game tickets go on sale this Friday, Valentine's Day, right? So this is our little reminder. What better than to buy your sweetheart tickets to for a great experience at the ballpark? But single game tickets on sale Friday. We have something called the Alley, a new food truck area at the ballpark, new ways to get into the ballpark more quickly. You're going to see lots of new things in the park in terms of the in-game entertainment, lots of live music, and other things that are just going to keep the fans on their feet that you can only find when you're in the ballpark.
Marty, how big of a void will there be going into the season without Uke up in the box? And does the team have anything planned to celebrate what he's done for the Brewers over the years?
Yeah, Chewy, it's so hard with an icon the size of Uke, right, to feel like we're properly honoring him. But together with his family, we're going to give it our best shot. We have right now a number of thoughtful nods to him, to our icon. On opening day, you'll see some. Throughout the season, you will. And really what we're going to do is, this will all culminate ultimately in a celebration of life. At the ballpark, we're still working through those details in a way that we hope we can be as respectful and honoring him as possible. But fans, I know fans are so eager to be part of a celebration of his life, and we're going to make sure that can happen. So stay tuned. Those details will be disclosed as we get things in place.
It was just this week that the Bob Uecker jersey patch was unveiled. And as we have discussed at length, Marty, it made a little bit more sense, just the level of emotion we saw from some of those guys in the clubhouse, knowing that they knew the health journey that Uke was on and some of the challenges he was facing. How do you anticipate those players sort of honoring Uke with their performances this season?
Yeah, it's going to be so interesting. Baseball and Uke are synonymous. Brewers baseball and Uke have been synonymous. And there's something so clearly special about the way he could talk to them. He loves the stories and the experience of having been a player himself. And I really think he can so frequently put himself in their shoes. give them those, you know, words of encouragement. Also just make them laugh, frankly, right? When he hangs out with them, it was like, you know, the permanent friend everywhere you went. So I think we are really going to see, you know, emotion behind not only opening day, but the way that they perform and play all season long. And as alums come back and we celebrate different things all season, I think, you know, I know we're going to see, you know, Bob just filtering through everything really that we're doing at the ballpark.
Marty, are expectations high? I mean, going back to last year, I mean, that was such a treat to watch the year that they had. And they kind of snuck up on people because the pundits at the beginning of the season, you know, didn't really have them finishing that high, and they surprised a lot of people. So I don't think they're going to sneak up on people this year. Are expectations as high as they were at the end of the season last year?
Yeah, I think always, right? I mean, I think everyone feels like they have a little bit, you know, that they of unfinished business. That's in baseball. So often that's the case. But expectations are absolutely high. We're going to put, you know, the guys are going to perform as the best they can on the field every time we're out there. And, you know, somehow our brilliant guys in baseball operations, right, put together, you know, the real talent on the field in exactly the right way. Whatever that secret sauce is, I'm not going to pretend that, you know, I'm the magician there in any way. But we're going to deliver it again so that there's always something exciting, that every game is really as much fun as it can be for everyone.
Marty Ronski joining us from the Milwaukee Brewers this morning. She is COO. Marty, last time I checked, you were the only woman in that position in Major League Baseball. Does that still stand, or have we seen more ladies who have gotten to that level with their respective franchises?
Jen, we have seen more. This is it's actually very exciting. We've got there's another COO. There's you know, others in those very, very executive roles, even senior to the COO role. So we're seeing a great progression. You know, all of baseball is, you know, evolving in so many different ways, and women are finding their way into those roles with the support of, you know, everyone involved. So, you know, it's looking good. We're just going to keep doing our part. So, yeah, good stuff. You're helping out, too, as we go along.
Is there anything new planned in the stadium? Concessions, different kind of food? I know you mentioned the food truck.
The alley. We're going to call it the alley, too. So here's the deal. Last year, food at the ballpark, like, you know, it is so incredibly important. And so we always had to spend a little minute in Wisconsin on this. So the Third Street Market Hall Annex last season was such a hit with our fans. It's just such a great hangout place. The bar, the food, the different kinds of food. So we thought the other side of the park on the lowest level needed a similar action. So our crew designed this really great, they're going to be real food trucks that are positioned on the Loge level with various vendors. We haven't quite announced who all the vendors are yet, but that's going to be there. There's going to be a bar on that side together with it. And so we're going to continue our you know, really good efforts at bringing the best food into the ballpark. So you'll see that. You're going to see, you know, we're going to start heading toward a little more going on out on the plazas, a little, you know, unique kinds of action or entertainment as fans are inside the ballpark. Like I said earlier, live music is such a hit with our fans, so we're going to continue some focus there. And so there's going to be lots of new things that, you know, you're going to see as part of the experience. So it's going to be, you know, we're bringing it every year, and you're going to see it again this season.
Marty,
we got to get you out there, Chewy.
Yeah.
Jen, you got to help me out here. Come on, we got to get this guy. Let's turn him into a baseball lover yet.
Doing one of those in-game promotions like we all have done out at the park. Last thing I have for you this morning, Marty, as we continue to get excited about Brewers baseball and spring training starting up and the season just around the corner. Pat Murphy, of course, named the 2024 National League Manager of the Year. Just a huge thrill for the organization and a feather in Pat's cap. What was the biggest difference? People were worried about the transition from Craig going down to the Cubs, how Pat would step in, how the locker room would rally around him. What was the thing that stood out to you about Pat Murphy's first year at the helm for the Brewers?
Well, there was obviously the success that he brought, but what is so incredible is the way the fans related to Pat. Pat is just so Wisconsin, and he showed that every time he stepped foot in the ballpark. He loves the fans. He loves that energy that Wisconsin fans and Brewers fans bring, and he couldn't really hide it, right? He became for us sort of like, you know, we're that gritty state that's going to figure out, you know, especially in sports, right? We're always figuring out how we're going to eke out a win, how we're going to beat our competitors. And Pat just brought that. You know, he argued when we wanted him to argue as fans, right? Everybody's, you know, behind him. He laughed when we needed him to laugh. And he just really bonded not only with the players, but very quickly and easily with the fans. And that was just something you could see and feel. And I think it you know, Pat would say that he had no doubt that he could do this and do the job in an incredible way. And obviously, you know, he brought that and showed us what he could really do. So we're so excited for another season with Murph. And, you know, we're doing a Murph bobblehead. You don't always see the manager bobblehead. But, you know, I mean, seriously, he's such a good sport. We're doing a Murph bobblehead this year. So that promotion schedule you mentioned, Jen, is it's great. It's online. Please take a look at that. Our theme nights, all those tickets are on sale this Friday as well. So, you know, you want a little more of Murph, you can set him in a bobblehead on your desk and spend some more time with him.
The first Brewers manager to win that award, a near unanimous decision for Murphy, obviously well-deserved. He just has a great aura about him, great personality. Saw him at Christian's charity event last year. He was trying to outbid Christian's mom for the painting and ultimately was like, you know what, you get it. But he certainly got the price up for the charity, which was awesome. Marty, we appreciate you taking the time this morning to talk Brewers baseball and hang out with us.
Thanks, guys. So appreciate you having me. And like I said, every Friday, come see us. Tomorrow, I guess I should say now. Come see us. We'll be at the public market, and tickets are on sale online.
Marty Ronsky from the Milwaukee Brewers. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Much more of the show right after this.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy are back after this on 94.5 ESPN.
It started with a whisper.
Thanks to Marty Ronsky for joining the program just a few moments ago, talking about those Brewers and getting excited for the upcoming MLB season, which now is just days away. All right, no Gabe, no Joshy. So this morning, Chewy, well, he threw down a challenge to Part-Time Will, because Part-Time Will was not going to do Top 8 at 8. But Chewy said what? Chewy, how did you handle this?
I said, Will, you got 8-8-8. We're going to make you a star. We're going to remove that part-time nonsense. This is going to get you a full-time gig. Why are you shaking your head, Jen?
I'm laughing because I'm watching Will back there, and he's just kind of like unaffected. He's not like into it. He's not like not into it. He's just like back there pushing buttons and pulling levers and moving mouses and all this. Mouses? Mice.
Mice.
Wait, no. Hold
Wait,
on.
I think you might be right.
Is it mouses when it's this kind of thing? Mouses?
That doesn't sound right.
It's not mice.
I don't
there
know.
Are multiple.
What's plural? What's plural?
Well, I'm talking about
mice.
This thing here. Hold on. I'm trying to hold it up in the camera.
Oh, that's a mouse.
I think it would be mouses.
But what is multiple of these, Chew?
Mice.
I don't think so. I think it's mouses.
No?
Chewy calling it mice makes me think that it's mouses now.
All right. Play the top 8 at 8 open. Do we have a top
Something
eight?
That follows the word pork.
You pie.
Huh? One category.
Name something people take with them to the beach.
Turkey.
The top 8 answers.
The first thing you buy in a supermarket.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8.
A food often stuffed.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Name Popeye's favorite food.
Chicken.
Oh my God.
Show me chicken.
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
All right, big moment here. Big moment for Part-Time Will. He's got to pick up the mantle left by Gabe to do top 8 at 8. How do you think you're going to fare, Will?
I feel good. I love this category. It's recent. It has a lot to do with what we've been talking about. It has to do with the big game, or the playoffs, I guess. So our category today is the 8 quarterbacks with the most playoff interceptions.
Ooh, that's kind of lush. Well, like, you got to go with Mr. Obvious, I guess.
Is that a
you
guess?
You want to say it or me? Huh?
You guess it.
Number 4?
Brett Favre is number 2 with 30 playoff interceptions.
Gosh, I'm not sure. It's not like people are oftentimes talking about how many interceptions quarterbacks throw in the playoffs?
Well, number one, you have to be there a lot.
Sure,
right?
Sure. So I would think like a Manning, like a Roethlisberger, like Brady. Did Brady throw a lot of picks?
He's in a lot of playoff games.
I'm going to go with Ben Roethlisberger. That feels safer to me at this moment. Ben Roethlisberger?
Ben Roethlisberger is third with 28 playoff interceptions.
Okay, that's a good guess.
And this is relevant because Patrick Mahomes threw a pick in the Super Bowl. Is that why?
He threw two. There's three total. Yes.
Okay. I'll follow Jen's lead there and go with Manning.
Peyton Manning has 25 career playoff interceptions. He is sixth on this list.
Now, to be fair, you probably should have distinguished which Manning you were referring to.
I assumed he was talking about Peyton.
But since I said Peyton, maybe it was fine. How about Jim Kelly?
Yeah, that's a good guess. I was going to go there, too.
Jim Kelly is fourth with 28 career playoff interceptions.
28?
Okay.
And how many did Favre have?
Favre had 30.
Wow.
30. I guess you got to go with Brady.
Is that a final answer?
That is maybe if I'm right.
Brady is number one with 40 career interceptions in the playoffs.
Whoa. Okay. I suppose when you play all those playoff games, you're bound to give one to the other team occasionally, huh? So go ahead and reset the list for us, Will. What do we got so far?
So you have Tom Brady at number one with 40 career playoff interceptions. You have Brett Favre with 30 career playoff interceptions. Roethlisberger with 28. Kelly at four with 28. So you are missing 5, 7, and 8. And you have Manning as well at number six with 25.
So we just need how many?
You need 3, 5, 7, and 8. And 8 is a tie, so I'll give you either one.
Is it my turn?
Yeah.
I think so.
Dang it. Playoffs. Having a tough time here. Oh, I know. How about Terry Bradshaw?
Terry Bradshaw.
That's a good pull.
Fifth on the list with 26. Great pull. All
right. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We only need 7 and 8.
You need 7 and 8, gosh, and there's 3 players remaining because 8 is a tie. I'll give you either one.
It feels like it's in our favor, Chu. Can we do this? Could we actually do this?
Yeah, but then it means it's a bad list.
If we get it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's a good list.
Nah, again, we run the table. It's bad.
So then Will doesn't get credit for it?
He stays part-time.
First he's trying to make me a star, and now he's trying to bring me back down.
Well, that's what we do, Will. That's what we do.
Let's go with Captain Dopey.
That being?
I just told a story, you momo. Who do you think it would be?
Dopey.
I needed a name for a concrete
French
answer.
So I'm wrong?
He is not on the list.
Okay.
Rodgers?
Rodgers is not on the list.
He played a lot of playoff games, Jen.
Yeah. No, I get it. I'm just trying to think of other quarterbacks who played in a lot of playoff games. How about Troy Aikman?
That's a good guess.
What?
Troy Aikman is not on the list.
He's got to be on the list somewhere.
He is on the list, but not inside the top 8.
Darn it.
All right, the list is okay now.
800-990-3776. 800-990-3776. That's our Carbless talk and text line if you want to play top 8 at 8. It is part-time Will's first list, first top 8 at 8 here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. So, you know, you and whoever wins today would be linked for life. 800-990-3776 if you want to play top 8 at 8. We don't have any callers.
No. If you guys want to keep guessing.
Well, to my point, do you understand why I want the list a little tougher?
Yeah, I get it. Just
to make it.
Because that means it's a good list. If you get it too easily, then
No. You're missing it. It's me you're talking to. It means I have to do less work.
Okay. So is it a good list or a bad list if you get it easily?
That's good. If we get 6 out of the 8, that's solid.
We do have some callers now if we want to open up the floor to them.
Open
Chef
it up.
Ed, you're on.
Is it me, Chef Ed, am I?
Yeah, Chef Ed, you're
on. Hi, Chef Ed.
How's it going? Can you give me a recount of the
reset
list?
Reset it.
Yep. All right. They have 1 through 6. They have Tom Brady, Brett Favre, Ben Roethlisberger, Jim Kelly, Terry Bradshaw, and Peyton Manning. There's 3 left in the last 2 spots since there's a tie at 8.
Well, Joe Montana's got to be on there. He played a lot of playoff games.
Yeah, he did.
Joe Montana's nice. Tied with in the 8th spot with 21.
Who's he tied with?
John Elway.
Ooh.
We got one more?
One more.
I'm going to go with the old. Well, he never won a Super Bowl, but I'll say Dan Marino.
That is correct.
All right.
Dan Marino with 24.
Nice.
Chef Ed, part-time Will, forever linked.
History.
Thank you, Chef Ed. We appreciate you each and every day. So talk me through this, Will. You didn't want to do top 8 at 8, but then Chewy bullied you into doing top 8 at 8. I just want to make sure I'm understanding how this all went down.
No, I was completely open to doing it. I thought it was Gabe's thing, and since Gabe was out today, I didn't plan on doing it. And then Chewy and Ashton both brought it up that it might happen, that I might do it, and I was open with it. I was cool with it.
I didn't really ask you, though.
Chewy didn't ask. Ashton said, you can do it if you want. And then Chewy connected. I said, hey, Chew, how's it going? He said, you're doing top 8 at 8.
It's his way of pushing you out of the nest.
Yes.
Right, Chew? That's what you were doing?
Yeah. But number one, Ashton's take on subs is so... Now I know why Rot's Hots got shut down, because his takes are so...
Whoa!
And then asking someone, Ashton, as a boss, here's a little advice. You delegate, okay? You tell people. That's what a boss does, okay?
It feels very cold-hearted to say that his sandwich takes are why he shut down the truck.
Well, his sandwich, number one, he tries to get too involved and too cute. Instead of just answering the question, it's just like, I don't even this is what he said. Depends on the sandwich, but overall, most important elements to a sandwich, the main attraction, meats and meat substitutes. Why do you got to make it so hard? Two bread, 3 condiments. We didn't say condiments. If you listen to the show, which is part of your job, I said, we're not talking about mustard. We're not talking about mayo. We're not talking about ketchup. I'm talking about secret sauces. And then... to be cute, 4 cheese in parentheses, Munster. Munster's almost as bad as Pepper Jack, okay?
Just taking everyone out this morning, Chew. I do want to put on the Jen Game and Chewy Twitter poll. What do you call multiple mouse? Computer mouse. Because I definitely don't think it's mice.
But why? Because... plural, if you see one of the little critters in your house and all of a sudden you see 4 or 5 of them, that's mice, right?
Correct. But I think
if you have a box
of these, I think it is mouses. This is considered a mouse, right? The thing that you use to scroll around your computer screen is a mouse. I still think that multiple of those is mouses, not mice.
So we're looking, our question is, what is the plural form of a computer mouse?
Correct.
Yes. Yes. Is there an English teacher out there that can help us out that's listening?
Because I think mice is exclusive to the creature. I think. I have no reason. I don't know why I feel that way. I just feel that way, and I feel very strongly about it. I want people to weigh in on that. Speaking of weighing in, Ryan from Iguanago on the Carbless Talk and Text line says, wow, that was by far the best top 8 at 8 this week.
I think that's a shot at me. No. What do I do?
Power rankings. Good Lord. Okay. We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Things are getting very weird very quickly. You guys remember hearing me talk about being at the State Fair and seeing a sauna, right? We've all had those moments walking through an expo center where we think, ooh, kind of want to have one of those. Let me go check it out. Well, that's exactly what I did when I saw the Good Health Saunas display at the State Fair a few years ago. And let me tell you guys, I bought it and I have been using it ever since. It feels great after my workouts. I feel extra energy and flexibility, and my skin looks better and my hair looks better, and the detox benefits are through the roof. I was actually sitting in my sauna yesterday. It was so cold outside. My body just had a chill. I was like, I'm going to sit in the sauna for 45 minutes. Wow, did it help. Find the infrared sauna for you at goodhealthsaunas.com. And this weekend, the Nary Spring Home Improvement Show is going on at State Fair Park. 14th through the 16th, and Good Health Saunas will have a booth there as well. This is a perfect opportunity, guys, for you to go to the sauna display, walk through some of the saunas, sit in some of the saunas, see what sauna works for you and your lifestyle. Remember, they'll be at the Nary Spring Home Improvement Show this weekend, and tell them Jen from Jen, Gabe, and Chewy sent you.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy continues next on 94.5 ESPN.
But I'm thinking it's time for a change. Get out of here.
Potawatomi Sportsbook is upping its game in a major move for all the sports bettors out there. Now you can use your Potawatomi Rewards card at most self-service kiosks and at the betting counter. Bet on your favorite sports and earn rewards play along the way. Now that is a winning play. Bet above the rest. Only at Potawatomi Sportsbook. And check them out at paysbig.com/sportsbook. I mentioned this earlier in the show. Chewy, did you see this story of the dad who went out on the ice at a youth rec hockey game because he felt like his kid was being, I don't know, bullied, picked on, not treated fairly, and he physically assaulted the officials, the referees, who happened to be a 13-year-old and a 14-year-old. Did you hear about this?
I saw the video.
What did you think?
It was horrendous. That guy should be locked up.
Outrageous.
Out of control. You haven't seen the video? It's even worse.
No, what is it? Just, tell me about it.
Because the kids weren't even looking. The referees were talking over by, you know, where the scorekeeper is and discussing what happened. And the dad, who was a big guy, came over and cleaned their clock.
Oh,
this guy should be in jail.
Awful.
He should be in jail.
So,
yes.
So we talk a lot about this on this program. Some of our colleagues have been officials and referees, and we talk about just how they are so widely underappreciated. And for that reason, some of the grief that they take from parents and quote-unquote fans at these youth sporting events, there's a huge issue with finding referees and finding officials.
Yeah.
And I just think about the parents of those young boys who thought they were doing a good thing by encouraging their kids to go out and get a job and be in the sports space and officiate these games. And now we have them having to worry about some rogue parent walking down. And this is what I said this morning, because I was on AM 620 with the guys and we talked about this as well. It's not as though he was right there and the officials were right there and this was like a snap judgment thing and he didn't have time to reconsider. Man, you got to walk all the way down from the stands, wherever you are, huffing and puffing and getting yourself all riled up. And then you got to find the opening to the enclosure. And then you got to step out onto the ice. And it's not like you can hustle on ice, right? You got to delicately and deliberately make those steps all the way over to these kids. And then you still clean them? You still clock them? Like, at any point there, you could have turned around. You could have been like, I'm being ridiculous. This is an overreaction to whatever occurred. And make the right choice. And he didn't. He just kept on walking. And I know that it's not a hot take to say that this is outrageous or ridiculous. But I think the importance is noting that these types of incidents are what are keeping people and kids from being officials and from being referees. And when that starts to happen, guys, no mas for the sports. You can't have a basketball game without the referees. You can't have a baseball game without the umps. Like, so what are we doing here?
You know what? And I loved watching my kids play youth sports all the way up, you know, all the way up to college sports, high school sports, loved it. But I'm so happy that part of my life is over with. Because there are so many idiots at these sporting events. And you know what was the worst? Basketball. Basketball is the absolute worst. The way these parents are involved and scream and yell, it's disgusting. It really is. And I know you're kind of in the middle of it, Jen, right? Chase is going to be, what, a junior?
Yep, he's a sophomore now.
Football.
He'll play baseball this spring. He'll play football
idiots.
In the upcoming fall.
I just don't. I understand why parents are invested, but what are they trying to live vicariously through their kids? Because they didn't have the best, you know, athletic. I just don't understand what brings you to the point where you have to beat up a 13 and a 14-year-old. Like, what are you doing?
Well, and this is an extreme incident, right? Like, obviously, like you said, physical altercations. But
but we see this all the time, Jen. You know, it is. We see it all the time.
I would encourage everyone, you know, when these moments occur, when something like this goes viral, because the video, like you said, is everywhere. It's all over all of the internet sites, CNN, People, etc. I would encourage you to, because most people are going to look at it and go, oh, that's dreadful. That's terrible. Why in the world would anyone act that way? But when you're screaming vulgarities at officials, no matter what age they are, that's not that far off. Right?
Mm-mm,
yes, no. It's not a crime because it's not physical assault. But what are you trying to accomplish by yelling at umpires and officials for youth sporting events? I told this story on the radio this morning. Chaser at a baseball game. I think it was in Heartland. It was a bit of a hike from us in Mequon.
Yeah.
And we're waiting for the officials to arrive, the umpires to arrive. It was a baseball game last spring. They were running a little late. It's annoying. It's frustrating. We got stuff to do, but nobody is like, you know, going to give it to the umpires. They understand they got to be there in order for the game to take place. Talk to the umpires afterward. And I just said, hey, thanks, Blue. Like we always do. And we tell Chase to always go up and thank the officials for the time that they are spending. Mm-hmm. And he says, you know, we came from Beloit. I said, Beloit, Wisconsin?
Really?
They came from the state line, you guys, to umpire a baseball game, a high school baseball game. I think it was a freshman baseball game in Heartland, Wisconsin. So that just tells you, man, is there not, you know, you can't just go pick up an umpire or pick up a referee at the store around the corner, man. These folks traveled up from Beloit to a game, you know, north of us, northwest of us, but still quite a distance. And it just reminded me, like, hey, there's a real issue here with fielding these positions. And a big reason why is because of the parents.
Yeah, and a lot of times these parents are yelling at, like you said, kids that are 13, 14, 15 years old. You know? What, do they expect them to be perfect? You know? I don't understand how people get to that point. I mean, what are you doing? Look, I understand parents like this all think their kids are getting scholarships. Your kid ain't getting a scholarship, okay? There are very few scholarships that are handed out across the country, right? In comparison to the number of kids that play sports. So dial it back, okay? Manage your expectations. I mean, give me a break for
Well, and manage your emotions, right? Like the expectations, obviously, for whatever you think your kid could accomplish. But even if you get in a jam, even if there is conflict and you don't like the way something is being called or you feel like your kid is being ostracized or singled out, manage your emotions, man.
Yeah.
There are way too many people out there just rage monstering their way through life. The slightest inconvenience, they get cut off in traffic. The fast food place doesn't have their drink order. They're just rage monstering and taking out their frustrations and their inability to regulate their emotions on the very next person they see. So I hope that people do see this. You know, I hope people do take a look at the video and just see how outrageous this is. But more importantly, I hope they look at it and go, yeah, I would never walk out onto the ice and clock a kid. But have I yelled at a kid? Have I screamed obscenities? Have I questioned their intellect before in a not so kind way? And if you have, remember, you're a part of the problem. You're a part of why people don't want to be officiating these games and why that might affect the longevity of the sports, the youth sports going forward. Hey, listen, we'll take a break on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Lots of reaction rolling into this. This obviously struck a nerve with people out there on the Carbless Talk and Text line and on the YouTube stream ESPN Milwaukee. We'll take a break, react to some of that right after this.
More Jen, Gabe, and Chewy coming up on 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
There's a single segment from our show that makes me as uncomfortable as you two talking about your pickles temperature, okay? Just so you know. If we could retire that one part-time, Will, maybe as you're here, just take it and throw it out.
Might have to.
Makes me very uncomfortable.
What?
So much reaction. What, you can't believe I get uncomfortable about certain things?
Yeah.
You two talking about your pickles is one thing. Bradley weighing in on the YouTube stream about the story we just told, the father who walked out onto the ice at a rec hockey game and punched the youth referees. One was 13, one was 14. Bradley says, we need a zero tolerance for fan misconduct. Issue a disorderly conduct fine to parents who behave this way. Would you be in support of that, Chu? Fining him?
How about assault?
Well, this guy is going to be. But I think he's saying, like, for other incidents where parents, or even sometimes just the threat of a fine or the threat of a punishment goes a long way to discouraging behavior. It shouldn't be necessary. You should just know right from wrong and that it is wrong to berate a youth who is refereeing or umping a game, but here we are. Justin weighing in saying, I used to umpire baseball. I was probably 13 or 14. I had a coach start yelling at me to the point where another coach stepped in and we actually called the game. I mean, again, control yourself. Aaron, go ahead, Chu.
Throw them out of the games. You know, if you're berating an official, I don't care if it's youth sports or high school sports, throw them out. Throw them out.
Aaron in Fredonia says, I played and coached baseball for a long time. Sometimes I get tempted to say things, but I'm not going to embarrass my kids. To me, that feels like a good barometer. Like, use that as your motivating factor. Would doing this embarrass my kids in a way that I can't come back from? You know, because we all embarrass our kids, right? It's sometimes I do it, you know, purposefully for fun.
It's a rite of passage.
Enjoyment. Yes. But I'm talking about, like, if your behavior would embarrass your kids, can that be enough to discourage you from doing it? Adam weighing in saying, I couldn't agree with you guys more. Parents are out of control. Even when you get a scholarship to go play somewhere, it doesn't matter. I'm pretty sure there's not one official that is deliberately trying to ruin the game for your kid, which is a great point as well. Like, they're out there just doing their best. You know, they're not a professional. They're learning as well. Can we give them some grace?
But it's not only that, Jen. It's like, obviously, you know, parents who go to games have younger kids. I wouldn't want my young kid, my 3, 4, 5, 6-year-old subjected to some guy that's swearing a storm up out there. And just zero tolerance. Throw the guy out. No discussion, you know? I mean, is it? I know you don't go. Well, you actually, do you go to sporting events? When's the last time you went to a sport? No. When's the last time you went to a college game and sat in the stands or a professional game?
I went to the Ohio State-Indiana game at the Shoe this past season. I go to Marquette games.
Are there obnoxious fans that just swear?
I'm glad that you asked that because I think I've told this story. I think I told it when it happened during the season. I was at Indiana for the... Would it have been? Oh, it was Washington. Washington at Indiana. We were there for game day, noon game. So I stayed for the first half before I made my trek back to Mequon. And the things that these students were saying to these players, Chu, again, made me blush. It was so vulgar and so disgusting. And things like about human fluids and it was just... Yeah. Outrageous. And I looked at these kids and was like, and I happened to be live streaming the national anthem and the warm-ups and stuff like that on my social media. And I looked at them like, I'm recording this. Like, this is going out to some audience. Like, what are you guys doing? And one of the kids was like, put the camera on me, put the camera on me. And I was like, I don't think so. Like, do you want to be expelled?
Does this happen at, like, a high school drama class where they're putting on a play? You suck! You missed your line! You're terrible!
Well, it's funny that you say that, Chu, because I went
tell me that happens.
I don't know if that happens. I don't think that it does. I think there's a little more decorum, maybe. Higher society, if you will. But I was at a comedy show recently, and they had a strict no heckling policy. I didn't know that was a thing. Like, they have to say, like, there is absolutely no heckling. You will be thrown out. You will be asked to leave if you heckle the comedians.
Really? Well, I mean, I thought it was part of the job, but... Why did you want to heckle?
No. Not this time. But I have famously been thrown out of a comedy club.
Come on.
You don't know this story? You don't know the story?
I do not.
I do not have time to tell it today, but when Gabe and Joshy, hopefully cross your fingers, cross your toes, cross your eyes, are back with us, I will tell the story of how I famously got thrown out of a comedy club for heckling the comedians.
Oh, I want to hear that.
Let's see. In coaching youth sports, I always found the parents that constantly complained to the refs had the kids that always complained to the refs, too. It's a correlation that kind of makes sense as a learned behavior. That from Steve in the 414. Yeah, you're setting an example, right? Whether you think so or not, people are watching you. Your kids are watching you. And they see how you react to games and sometimes what feels unfair. And they internalize that. And then they project that the next time that the situation arises. Again, you and I have talked about this, Chu. Teach your kids to handle adversity. Teach your kids that they can do hard things, that they can survive. It will serve them so much further than the alternative of you always coming to their defense.
I agree.
Adam wants to know, does this happen at tennis matches or golf matches? They feel more high society. I did have somebody jump into the Carbless Talking text line saying that they had kids in tennis and that, yes, there were bad apples at tennis matches as well.
And I've seen it on the PGA Tour. Yeah, so there's idiots everywhere. Part of life.
Hopefully we will be back at full strength tomorrow. Hopefully Joshy will be feeling better. Hopefully Gabe's voice will return and we will have Jen, Gabe, and Chewy and Josh. But for now, listen to Wilde and Tausch right here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee.